The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We're back on Get Up, and that is Tom Brady on his 44th birthday getting set for practice today with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They had to move it inside today because of weather down there in Tampa, but that will not dampen, I'm sure, the birthday celebration for Brady. Again, August 3rd, he turns 44 years old today, which is exactly double the age of the New York Jets quarterback, Zach Wilson, who, in an unrelated story, turns 22 years old today. So that is what we have for you as we come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 from the law offices of Tannenbaum and Greenberg and Jam Pack. We are. Let's go. It's time to get up with a free agent feeding frenzy. The entire NBA is being reshaped right before our eyes. We have the very latest on which teams made the most significant moves. And then what now for Wentz? After surgery on his foot, can Carson's Colts stand pat, or do they need to deal for a quarterback? And it's Tampa Tom's 44th birthday. Wait until you hear how he chose to celebrate with his team. You will, as we get up with you in this hour, which starts right now with this news from Tokyo. While you were sleeping, Simone Biles made a triumphant return at the Olympics, winning bronze in the balance beam in her first competition since she withdrew from all those events last week. She displayed a slightly altered and less difficult routine than the one she performed during qualifying, but she was solid throughout and finished in third.
I'm pretty happy. I wasn't expecting to medal. I just came out here and just tried to do a good beam set. Yeah, well, to bring the topic of mental health, I think it should be talked about a lot more, especially with athletes, because I know some of us are going through the same things and we're always told to push through it, but we're all a little bit older now and we could kind of speak for ourselves. But at the end of the day, we're not just entertainment, we're humans, and there are things going on behind the scenes that we're also trying to juggle with as well on top of sports.
So Biles gets her seventh career Olympic medal that ties for the most by an American in gymnastics. Just the latest in a long list of career accomplishments. First woman to win five all-around world championship titles. The greatest of all time. She wins the bronze in the beam. All right, now to the NBA free agent spending frenzy. Over $1.5 billion have already been spent while you were sleeping. One of the stars of the playoffs, Trae Young, agreed to a five-year rookie max extension worth up to $207 million. The opposite end of the age spectrum is Chris Paul. He's got a new four-year deal in Phoenix, could be worth as much as $120 million. Of course, he led that team to the finals this year. Perhaps the biggest free agent moves came in Miami. Kyle Lowry joining the Heat in a sign and trade. They also add former Bucks forward P.J. Tucker, who played such an important role for Milwaukee there. And so let me bring in Woj, who had to be the busiest guy. I don't know how your thumbs are holding up today, Woj, after all the tweets from yesterday. But what more can you tell us about the Lowry deal in particular and the reaction to the big moves made in Miami yesterday?
Well, the Kyle Lowry to Miami move, I think it's been some time in the making. Kyle Lowry has had his eye on the Heat. I think once he knew it was over for him in Toronto, his relationship with Jimmy Butler, and just how he fits with that Heat organization. I remember sitting in the bubble one day back in Orlando a year ago, and I was sitting with Masai Ujiri, the Heat's president, and Eric Spoelstra, Miami's coach, came over, and you know, they were talking a little bit. They had just played some really physical, tough game the night before, and there was just so much alike about those two organizations, how they played on the court. It's just a natural fit for Kyle Lowry, and this is a formidable Miami team that is going to be just kind of like what you used to see with Spoelstra, Pat Riley, tough-minded, certainly talented. And, you know, they also re-signed Duncan Robinson, 5 years, $90 million, the most ever for an undrafted player in the NBA.
Not bad for a guy who started his career in the NESCAC as Duncan Robinson did at Williams, and now he's got
Williams.
The big money, that's exactly right. But one way or another, the Heat feel like they're sort of putting together a contender in the East alongside the Nets and the Bucks. And then let's go out west. What has, you and I talked a lot last week about the Lakers and the money they had left and everything else. What are we hearing as far as reaction around the league to what the Lakers did yesterday and the other moves they have the potential to make?
Well, certainly the Lakers, as they now try to, you know, kind of remake their bench and bring in players, you know, many of whom at the veteran minimum, players they've been familiar with, as we reported, Trevor Ariza coming back to the Lakers, Dwight Howard back in L.A., and, you know, one more player who they're trying to sign and could decide as soon as today, Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony to be reunited with LeBron James, or to be united, I guess, as great friends, and they play together in the Olympics. It would be their first time playing together in the NBA. That would really be something. Okay, we'll keep a close eye on that, and obviously you got the Twitter fingers ready to go as these stories continue to develop. Meanwhile, speaking of injuries, and these of the more serious variety, Carson Wentz is hurt. Yesterday, the Colts head coach Frank Reich revealing that Wentz needs surgery on the injured foot. He'll be sidelined approximately 5 to 12 weeks. Here's more from the coach of the Colts.
Yeah, I think it was a gut punch for him for about 2 hours. Just knowing Carson, I'm optimistic. You know, knowing that this is a type of injury you don't have to be pain-free to play in. And I know Carson's level of toughness. I know he can play with pain. So, you know, you have with this injury, from listening to the doctors, you have to get to an acceptable level of pain, and then you can start playing. So that could happen early.
Well, the earlier the better. As we take a look at the first five games for the Colts, you see at the bottom of your screen, it's the toughest in the NFL based on how good these teams all were a year ago, and they all figure to be in a similar situation this season. So the start of the season is a challenging one. And Adam Schefter, let me start with you, because yesterday Reich announcing that Wentz will need surgery, and you were telling us that surgery has already taken place.
Surgery took place in Indianapolis yesterday, Greeny, and the Colts want to wait a couple of weeks to see how Carson Wentz rebounds and rehabs from the surgery that he underwent yesterday before they do anything at quarterback. So for all the people who have been talking about what a great fit Nick Foles could be, what Marcus Mariota could do for the Colts offense, how this team needs to make a move to get somebody on the roster to replace the former fourth-round pick Jacob Eason, who is now running as the first-team starter in training camp, the Colts don't agree with that. They believe that they're going to ride with Jacob Eason right now and wait to see how Carson Wentz responds to the surgery that he had yesterday before they do anything at quarterback, and they're not giving up hope that he couldn't be ready for week one, for the regular season opener. Now, again, not ideal in the sense that he's coming to a new team, even though he knows the offense, to work with new players that he hasn't worked with before and can't go through training camp and get timing down with them. But the fact of the matter is they're not giving up hope that he couldn't be ready for week one, which gives you a glimpse into what they're thinking right now and that they think it'll be closer to 5 weeks than the 12 weeks that they put out there. But they know that it's a surgery. They know it's the foot. They know it's a long-standing issue to work on the bone. And so they're giving themselves the cushion that it could be a longer time, even though they don't believe it will be, and they think he'll be back sooner, which is why they're not prepared to make a quarterback move at this time.
Well, the impact of that timeline is significant. You mentioned 5 weeks. 5 weeks from Sunday is when their season starts. So that would be the most optimistic possible way. There's so many pieces of this story I find interesting. One of them, Dan, I want you to pick up on something you said earlier. This is going to be an injury. Much of this will be determined, how quickly he returns, by how much tolerance he has for the pain. And you told us earlier you think that he has an obligation to the franchise to do that. What does that mean?
I think he owes the general manager, the head coach, and the teammates to play tough. I believe that because the general manager and the head coach very much so stuck their necks out there for him. Chris Ballard, their general manager, and Frank Reich said, we believe in him. We believe that this guy can be an absolute stud at this position still in the NFL. We're going to go trade for him. And I think that because this injury isn't an injury where you're like, well, if he plays on it, it could get worse. It's not a performance hindering. It's a pain tolerance one. And I do think he has to go and play through some pain. Once they say rehab-wise, you're good, go. I do believe he owes that to them. I also think it's a great opportunity, another one, for Carson Wentz to shut everybody up because he's an easy target for everybody. It's an opportunity for him to come back and shut everybody up. Now, Jacob Eason's got a big part of this, Greeny, okay? I'd say this. The Colts were one of the teams that I was looking at this year and saying, I'm not going to pay a ton of attention to them in September because I think they're going to be a very different football team October, November, December, mainly because how young they are. And they're still waiting for Eric Fisher, their left tackle, to get back. But I think if we looked at a blind resume and removed Carson Wentz's name from this football team, we'd say, wait. Great defense, great offensive line, great run game, really good skill position, great coaching. This is a situation that is built to sustain something at the quarterback spot. Everyone can just relax. Jacob Eason is a big, strong-armed quarterback. Frank Reich will get number one in the progression, open a lot. Kid, all you got to do is drop back and rip it, okay? Drop back and rip it. And I think that's why patience is huge here for Indy.
So that's the way Dan sees it. Mike T, I feel like you see it differently.
Completely different. If we took Carson Wentz's name off of this and just looked at the resume, he's 29 years old and he's only completed one season as a quarterback. And the most accurate factor, Greeny, in assessing whether or not a player will stay healthy is past performance. That's just the facts. They need to go get Nick Foles, and I disagree with Adam, not based on what happened in the last 72 hours. It's based on what's happened over the last 7 years. And that's just the reality of his track record. It's the same thing that we saw in San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo has struggled staying healthy. They went out and got Trey Lance. This is a good football team. They need a good veteran player behind Carson Wentz because it's likely he's going to get hurt, which is what just happened.
Go ahead, Dan.
Silencio Bruno. That's what I say. Silencio Bruno. Mike T, it sounds like you wanted them to sign Nick Foles like 7 months ago.
That's right.
You wanted them to bring in a guy who's, in the last 2 years, when he started at quarterback, averages 17 points a game. And in the last 2 years, he's 44th in the NFL in yards per attempt. I get it. 2017 was magical, and 2018 was pretty good. But that's 4 years ago. It's almost five seasons ago. Nick Foles is the best backup quarterback in the history of the NFL. But this is a football team that with Carson Wentz healthy and playing the way he has shown in his career is a division winner and a playoff game winner and a potential run. They are not that football team with Nick Foles, Marcus Mariota, Jimmy Garoppolo, nobody else. That's just the truth. It's a good football team that because the quarterback can play really good becomes a really good football team.
Yeah. And I hope Carson Wentz is a great player for a long time, Dan, but he's 29 years old. He's played one full season. It's the responsible thing to do to go get someone, Nick Foles, who costs $4 million, less than 2% of your salary cap. Chicago presumably would give him away. I'm not saying he's coming in to be the franchise savior. I'm just saying it's reasonable based on Carson Wentz's track record that he was going to miss some time in the 2021 season. They have a good team. It's the responsible thing to do if I'm the Colts.
Let me get Shefty in here. Go ahead, Shefty.
Yeah, a few things. First of all, Dan, Frank Reich would like to have a word with you about Nick Foles being the greatest backup quarterback of all time. That's number one. Number two, this is a Colts roster that really has been built to make a deep push in the postseason for years now, and it had Andrew Luck retire on that team just before the season began, and it never got the chance to fulfill its full potential because he left. And now you bring in Carson Wentz with a roster built to make that same run, and Carson Wentz gets hurt in the opening week of training camp. And what's interesting to me is we look around the league, and we're about a week into training camp right now. We've seen Carson Wentz go down with a foot injury. We saw Dak Prescott suffer a strained muscle in his shoulder that now is limiting his throws in training camp. Matthew Stafford hurts his thumb. We're a week into training camp. Three quarterbacks have had certain little issues pop up right now, some bigger than others. And again, you just wonder and hope that nothing else happens. But sometimes this is the byproduct of training camp.
Yeah, I want to come back to this a little later in the hour because, Orlovsky, I would ask you the question, and we'll do this a little later. Were it not for the history of Wentz and Foles, which we all know, and there's a statue that documents it in Philadelphia, would that be a slightly more appealing proposition? We'll answer that question as we continue a little later. But we got to go to another one of these quarterback injury situations, Shefty, and that's in Dallas, where the Cowboys will open the preseason in 2 days against the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game. Dak Prescott, however, is nursing an arm injury. And did you hear Tim Hasselbeck talking about this yesterday, saying it's an issue that might not be going away?
Well, as somebody who's had a sore arm in training camp before, I do think it's a bit of an issue. Now, he could recover fine. They do have the benefit of time. But the thing I'll tell you is this. You know, a lot of times, that arm soreness, it never really goes away. It lingers because you don't really have that much time to let it completely calm down. And once you start throwing again, it starts to bother you again. And you know, if you just think about it this way, you hope to still be throwing a football at the beginning of February. It is a marathon of a season. And so for that reason, I do think it's something to keep an eye on.
And here's another reason for that, Dan. I'd like you to make the point that we were talking about earlier, that this particular injury, it may sound obvious, but for a quarterback, it's one that if you don't get it taken care of immediately, there's really no way to take care of it during the season.
No, because you're going to throw every day. I mean, you play on Sundays, right? Then you come in on Monday and you rehab. Tuesday's a day off, then Wednesday you throw, Thursday you throw, Friday you throw, Saturday you throw. And so there's never an extended rest. It's a day here or there, but that's not truly impactful. And I need to remind everybody, 2 years ago, this is the same shoulder that Dak had hurt going up to Philadelphia to try to win the division, and he couldn't play as well as he wanted to. Last year's the ankle injury, and now we have this. So I'm not like overly concerned about it, but this absolutely has my attention. This is also a situation where like they're trying to infuse Dak back into the offense, get him comfortable with this scheme with Kellen Moore and these players, especially a guy like CeeDee Lamb. So how do they do that coming off of the ankle injury while also managing the shoulder injury and also they're carrying the burden of playing with a bad defense? This is not a quarterback that's going to throw the ball 20 to 25 times a game. This is a quarterback that's going to have to throw the ball 40 times a game and score 35-plus points for them to win football games. So this is not a situation where they can rely on, you know what, they got a great defense, maybe they can hand it off and minimize him, especially early on the season. So I'm not overreacting, I'm not overly concerned, but it absolutely has my attention down in Dallas.
All right, he's not overly concerned. Mike T., are you?
Yeah, as Coach Parcells would say, quarterbacks throw with their legs. They need to squat, they need to clean. And when you look at guys like Dan Marino and Vinny Testaverde, Dan, you show your legs there? The end of their careers wasn't because they couldn't throw green. They couldn't move anymore, and it's all connected. I agree with what Tim was saying. And because of that, we're talking about an 18-week, 17-game marathon. And if he has soreness now, Greeny, that does not bode well. And Dan makes a great point, which is this. There's not like a long history here of Dak Prescott with Mike McCarthy. You have a young, talented receiver in CeeDee Lamb. Every rep is consequential, and this team is going to have to score, especially early as this young defense evolves around Dan Quinn. So this is an injury we really need to monitor.
All right, let me go to Shefty, who's a man who, of course, spends a lot of time both squatting and cleaning. Shefty, your thoughts as far as what you're hearing coming out of Dallas, the level of concern that they have for this injury.
Not publicly high, Greeny. And again, they're going to do the smart thing because it's August 3rd. It's not September 3rd. And so they're going to try to get Dak the rest that he will not be able to afford to get during the season. So he's not going to play this week in the Hall of Fame game. Who knows when he'll start throwing on a regular basis. They'll monitor it and make those decisions accordingly. But they're going to try to spread this out and pace it, knowing that it could linger and it could be an issue. They don't sound alarmed. It's not like Dak is going to miss games over this. He's not. He's going to play with this. The question, as Tim Hasselbeck rightfully pointed out, is how much does it linger during the season and how much does it impact his performance?
Dan Orlovsky, when you were playing in the NFL, did you squat and clean?
I was a big squat guy, Greeny. I was the guy that had to, like, try to do everything I could. I was such a bad athlete. So I was the guy that would, like, put a lot of weight on my back and then, like, lean forward and pretend it was a squat. And I was also with Stafford, who was, like, a big believer. He was a front squat guy. I don't know if you guys know about that, but you put it across your throat and see how long you can do it. So.
No, that's the way I've always done it myself. No, I recommend that for everyone out there. That's why I squat,
there's
I clean.
Only, there's only one way to live, Greeny. Put it on your throat, put it on your back, and put up, down, up, Shefty. Down.
For those who don't know at home, Greeny is a front squatter.
Yeah,
yes, I'm a front squatter.
I think he's got the dumbbells here, 15 pounds.
There were a lot of things I was expecting to happen today after my day off. To have it shared with the world that I'm a front squatter was not high on that list, but that's Shefty for you. Okay, Shefty, let's run the hurry up. We got a bunch of other notes. What happened with Matt Stafford yesterday?
Yeah, he banged his thumb during training camp, Greeny. In fact, there was some concern initially within the Rams organization. He was holding the hand, shaking the thumb. They had some tests, and the early indications are he's fine. Not going to be a big deal. But when your starting quarterback that you go out and trade for during the offseason hurts his thumb when he's had issues before, that becomes problematic and troublesome. But again, they feel like he's going to be okay, and there's a little bit of a sigh of relief in Los Angeles. Meanwhile, Philadelphia, their first-round draft pick, Devonta Smith, he sprained his MCL over the weekend. He's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks, which basically knocks him out of the preseason. And his first chance to show his ego will be in the regular season, it looks like. They don't sound concerned about that injury. But again, you'd like to have your first-round pick go through drills during training camp to see how he fares during them. They're not going to have that luxury right now without him. And Kirk Cousins right now is on the reserve COVID-19 list, along with most of the Vikings quarterbacks. He has not tested positive, but he's been outspoken in his wishes not to get the vaccine, which has upset Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer, the Vikings head coach, is upset that the Vikings quarterback room does not have a different stance towards the vaccine. This gets us into all sorts of different areas. In the meantime, yesterday they go out and claim Danny Etling, the quarterback, on waivers from the Seattle Seahawks. And in one other COVID note, the Raiders general manager Mike Mayock has tested positive. He's been working from home. He's also vaccinated, turned 63 next week, and he said he's very thankful to have gotten the vaccine, because if he hadn't, he believes it would have been a lot worse.
It is going to be a factor in a lot of places this year. Washington, it's also a place they're talking a lot about. Chefty will be all over it as we go. Meanwhile, as we continue, it is Tom Brady's birthday as he continues to age like fine wine. We'll tell you why 44 might actually be his best vintage. Plus, Mahomes, the magician, how Patrick the Great surprises even himself with his creativity. You have to see it to believe it, and you will. Get up on ESPN. Come on, get up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, on planet Earth, A. Orlovsky, Red Sox outfielder Hunter Renfroe had the day off yesterday, so we decided to go frog hunting on the golf course. What do you think?
I love that he's at a golf course. Frog hunting is something I've never heard of before. It's probably like fishing. I hate fishing. I stink at fishing. I don't understand what's fun about it. But the frog, did he catch it with his bare hands?
Yes, that seems to be what he did. The only thing you hunt for on a golf course is birds, and we all know exactly what I mean by that. All right, coming up, Dan Orlovsky will show you why the quarterback decision in Chicago should be an easy one. That is on the way. Plus, Mahomes, the magician. How the great one surprises even himself with his creativity. We'll show you our favorites next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and we're talking about this man. Patrick Mahomes enters year five in the NFL. He's accomplished more at his age than just about any player in the history of the sport. Yesterday, he himself was talking about the creativity with which he plays and using camp to go next level.
I definitely try more out here in training camp than I try anywhere else. But there has been times and situations and games where I've done stuff, and it's really caught me off guard, I guess you say. I remember the Denver left-handed pass thing. That was nothing I had planned. It was like last second I threw it. I remember in Tennessee when I jumped, I was just trying to get my legs out from under me so I didn't get kind of sandwiched in there, and I jumped it through the ball. But I mean, I just try to do whatever. I just try to compete. I think that's the end of the day. What I do is I just compete and try to win. And sometimes stuff happens I'm not planning.
So he amazes even himself. That might be the greatest humble brag I've ever heard in my entire life. And it did get us to thinking, because he's just so incredibly entertaining
best,
to watch.
What
is your favorite Patrick Mahomes play? And we each picked one. Orlovsky, I'll start with you. What's your favorite play you've ever seen Mahomes make?
Yeah, the one that won the Super Bowl, that 3rd-and-17 three-jet chip Wass. I mean, there's so much that I love about it. First of all, the fact that it was kind of his idea. And then I remember being on your show, Greeny, the next day and breaking down, like, exactly how it happened. Like, the fact that Patrick Mahomes, watch how far he goes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He takes an 11-step drop, which he shouldn't do, just because he knows he has to allow time for Tyreek Hill to get downfield. And, like, that play should not be open given what San Francisco was running defensively. I just love the fact – it's almost like the Babe Ruth point, you know? Like, he calls his shot, and it's one of those things where, like, I don't care what the defense is in. I'm going to be good enough to make it happen. And then he, like, truly goes and makes it happen. That's why it's my favorite play.
Wait, Jeff,
hey, quick story about that play.
Yeah.
The 49ers practiced against that play, specifically that play – on Friday for one straight hour.
No.
They told their defensive backs, no matter what you do, don't bite up on the play action fake. Be ready for Tyreek Hill to go long. And they still bit, and they still got beat by Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. And after the game, I was told Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, was so amazed that they went over this one play and the team still blew it, that he walked around in like a coma-like trance in the locker room for an hour in a complete state of shock.
Wow. He better have gotten over that now because he's the coach of the Jets. Shefty, what's your favorite? You watch all those stuff. What's your favorite Patrick Mahomes play?
Honestly, I wouldn't pick just one because I just like watching the guy every week. How about the run he had in the playoffs against the Tennessee Titans? That was an unbelievable run. You know Patrick Mahomes for his arm, but that run was so huge in that game to get the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, where eventually he threw the pass that the 49ers were preparing for on Friday, and he still beat them to win the Super Bowl with that one pass.
Mike T, your favorite Patrick Mahomes play?
Agreed. I'm going to agree with Patrick Mahomes. How about throwing the ball left-handed in an NFL game? You have the best athletes in the world chasing you.
Yeah.
You get flushed out. You're a right-handed passer. You throw it lefty accurately, and you get a first down. That is impossible to do when you're being chased by those defensive linemen. It's hard. That'd be a great play if he threw it right-handed, let alone left-handed.
It's bordering on ridiculous. My favorite play, the moment that I realized all of the hype about this guy is not only accurate, but it's actually being understated, was in a game against Baltimore in the regular season a couple of years ago on a fourth down play. They lose this game if they don't make this play. And he is running out of bounds in a big game against the Ravens. Watch this. Mahomes on a dead sprint to his right. He's about to go out of bounds, and he just flings it down the field on a fourth down play and finds Tyreek Hill coming across the middle. Again, Orlovsky, as one who played the position, how would you describe what he does on that play? Again, that play is the difference between losing and winning a game.
Yeah, I ain't played a position like him, though. I think it's hard to describe, Greeny. I mean, I would tell everybody, go in your backyard and run as fast as you can to your right and just take something, stuffed animal, Mike Tannenbaum's favorite football, something, and try it, throw it across your body and see if you can get it, like, to your porch. And then imagine doing that with a 300-pound human being trying to squash your collarbones and also throwing it into a window that was, like, that big to a moving human being. That's – I mean, he's ridiculous.
Hey, Dan, do you think Patrick front squats? Like, any idea how he cleans?
I don't know. Mike T, if you followed him on social media like I do, he posts some workout videos. I don't know if he's doing a lot of front squatting, but he's doing advanced stuff. He's got a little bit of work ethic in him. There's no
doubt. Whatever he's doing, it's definitely working. And another guy who, whatever he's doing, it's also working, is Tom Brady. The latest chapter of Tom versus Time comes today because on this day, August 3rd, 2021, Tom Brady turns 44 years old. He was born in 1977, the year Hotel California came out. This year, he'll become the fourth quarterback in the Super Bowl era to start a game at the age of 44. Testa Verde, Moon, and DeBerg are the only ones ever to do it before. He's won more playoff games in his 40s than five other active NFL franchises have won in their history. He's older than 13 current NFL head coaches. Since he was drafted, 5,410 different players have been drafted into the league. And here he is at the age of 44. And so, Dan, the question, and we've all been waiting to see if this thing slows down. Can he, at the age of 44, what do you mean, yes? I haven't even asked the question.
Doesn't matter. Whatever you ask me with Tom Brady and you start with can he, my answer is yes. I don't care what the question is because I've never seen Tom Brady not do it. I've never seen Tom Brady not accomplish something. And so if your question for me is, can Tom Brady go be a supermodel? Sure. Can Tom Brady climb Mount Everest? Sure. Can Tom Brady go be better at quarterback? Sure. Can Tom Brady come and be really good on Get Up? Sure. I don't care what it is. So my answer is automatically going to be yes. I don't know if he'd be as good breaking down tape. My answer is yes. Anything he wants to do, he'll do.
I'm willing to find out. I have a standing invitation, Tom, if you're interested.
Might have been a bad idea by me.
Come on by and break down some tape for us here on Get Up. But, Shefty, all kidding aside, as ridiculous as this sounds, and neither you or I would have ever imagined we'd say this, there is actually reason to believe he will be better at the age of 44 than he was last year.
Well, think about this, Greeny. He didn't really go through the Buccaneers offseason program last year. He didn't get to work with the people the way that he ordinarily would like to, even though they were having some offsite workouts. Now he's getting to do all that. Now he's got a year in Bruce Arians' offense. Now Bruce Arians understands that as good as Bruce Arians is, as smart as he is, he's smarter to hand off the play calling preferences to Tom Brady and have Tom do what he wants out there. Now Tom understands the personnel. Now they've gotten more help. Now they've retained all their Super Bowl starters. Now they've won a Super Bowl and built up all the confidence they need to think that they'll be even better this season. And one other birthday note about Tom Brady, and it's hard to imagine that this is true, but it is. He's exactly double the age of the Jets quarterback, Zach Wilson, who turns 22 today. So Tom Brady turns 44, Zach Wilson turns 22, and Tom Brady's still at the top of his game while he's double the age of other quarterbacks in the league.
Bordering on ridiculous. There's a name we haven't even mentioned in this conversation that I know you think is going to wind up playing a significant role for the Bucs this year with all the stars they have, and that's O.J. Howard.
That's right, Green. He only played four games last year. We're talking about why can Tampa Bay be better? O.J. Howard, you think about those great Patriot offenses, the Gronkowski, the Hernandezes of the world. O.J. Howard has as much ability as any of them, and if he's healthy, you're going to take a team that has all these outside threat screening, and Godwin and Edwards, Antonio Brown, and someone like O.J. Howard, if he's healthy, it's going to make this Buccaneer offense even better.
They're loaded. I mean, that team is as loaded as any team has come into an NFL season in a very long time. That doesn't always mean that team wins, but it seems like a reasonable way to bet right now. Meanwhile, we are down to two teams in the basketball tournament championship. $1 million on the stake in the title game. Boeheim's Army taking on Blue Collar U. 9 Eastern on ESPN and the app. One app, one tap. Coming up, Fields of Gold in Chicago. Dan will explain why this is an easy decision. So why don't they seem to be making it? We'll take you there as we continue in a moment. And then Sneaky Hembo is ready for Orlovsky today, too. Who is the last non-quarterback to receive a vote for NFL MVP? It's a good question. The answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back. And Orlowski, here you go, from Sneaky Hembo. Who is the last non-quarterback who got a vote for MVP?
This is a complete guess, but it's a teammate or an ex-teammate of mine, Calvin Johnson.
It doesn't go back quite that far. It's not a bad guess, but the answer is Todd Gurley, who actually finished second in 2017 behind Tom Brady. Gurley was there, and of course, his team winds up in the Super Bowl. Gurley finished second in the MVP voting that year. Score that one for Hembo. Meanwhile, we bring that up because we'll do another round, this time the NFC edition. Of the most important non-quarterbacks in each division, Dan, NFC East, who's the most important non-quarterback?
Yeah, Washington football team wide receiver Terry McLaurin is going to burst on the scene to prove that he is a bona fide number one. I'm actually going to call him the Yak King, yards after catch King Greeny. Last year, he was 9th in the NFL in yards after catch, 6th as a wide receiver. I think this guy is an absolute superstar, and he could take this offense to be potentially good to being really good.
I totally agree. Meanwhile, Mike T, next. NFC West, who's the most important non-quarterback?
49ers tight end George Kittle, taking nothing away from the talented Kyle Pitts. This is the best tight end in football because he is dominant not only in the passing game, which we're seeing here at Greeny, but in the run game. He's a really good blocker. So as we see, if it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, this is a great two-way player, and he's someone that can make a big difference for the 49er offense.
Coming back from an injury-plagued season. Danny, NFC South, who's the most important player?
Yeah, CMC, Christian McCaffrey. Greeny, the last time we watched him play a healthy season in 2019, he was 3rd in rushing in the NFL and 2nd in catches. That's ridiculous. That's how special of a talent he is. New quarterback Sam Darnold's going to come over, and he's going to want to have a guy that he could turn around and hand him the ball off to or find him on a checkdown, incorporate him into the pass game. If Christian McCaffrey is the 2019 version for this offense, the Panthers can absolutely surprise people this season.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. They have more weapons on offense than I think most people realize. So those are non-quarterbacks. Let's talk about a very important young quarterback in Chicago. The Bears traded up to the 11th pick and took Ohio State's Justin Fields, who currently sits at number 2 on the depth chart behind Andy Dalton. But if the things Lewis Riddick is hearing are true, then that probably won't last long. Did you see Lewis's tweet yesterday? Got a lot of attention. He tweeted, "Not going to say how crazy good some of the things I've been told about Justin Fields, the professional, have been thus far. Don't want to hear the it's only training camp brigade puff up their chest and scream at the top of their lungs, but it has been that good, just saying." This from the same man who in training camp once upon a time was telling us just how good Patrick Mahomes was looking. So, Dan, teach us something about Justin Fields, the young Bears quarterback.
Yeah, Greeny, when I played under Steve Mariucci as a quarterback, he would tell us, you don't stop gathering information just because the play is over. You can continue to get clues, or he would call them breadcrumbs, even between plays. And I think Justin Fields did that against Clemson in the college football playoff. It's a perfect example of his intelligence. Now, I want everyone to pay attention to what Clemson is going to be doing defensively. This safety is going to be the clue for everything. And Justin's going to go, I got my eyes on you for you to tell me to find some breadcrumbs. Now, the play concept defensively for Clemson is that safety's really responsibility. Is this half of the field, okay? Like, that's his responsibility depending on the pass concept. Chris Olave at the bottom of the screen is going to have a post route. But the real concept for offense is going to be he's going to have a widened hitch, a seam route, and then a crosser. It's full progression, 1, 2, 3 to 4. That post for Justin Fields is like a pre-snap alert or if somebody on the defense tells you something. Now, Justin's going to drop back and go, okay, I'm understanding that that's our pass concept. Now, I want you to pay attention to that safety, everyone. That safety right now, Justin's peeking out there. I don't like number one. That guy's getting wide. Number two's not getting there. But watch that safety. Watch that safety. Where is he supposed to be? Deep. Is he getting to as deep as he's supposed to? Because Justin snaps back and he's like, huh, that safety's not there. That post, I really want to throw that post. That safety is not where he's supposed to be. I got Olave deep. That safety collapsed on my crossing route. But I can't get that ball to him. Even though that safety's there, I can't get that ball to them because this pass rush is not allowing me to push that ball down the field, okay? Pay attention. Remember where I told you that safety was. I got to throw that ball away. But something here told me Justin's finding breadcrumbs. His eyes. This is right now. He's staring at that safety like, you're not supposed to be where you're supposed to be. I know the play's over, but I'm going to make sure that I hurt you. I'm not going to allow you to do that again. Now, here's going to be that same safety. He's just in a different spot. He's not down here. He's up top. That same guy. It's the same player. He's also got the same kind of defense. That's his responsibility. You got to cover that side of the field. Now, this is six plays later. In the same drive, Justin didn't go to the sideline. He didn't have to talk with his coach. He did this himself in the same drive six plays later. Now, the pass concept is going to be very similar. Number one is on an out route. That is number one. He just happens to have Olave on a post again versus that same safety from the previous play. Now, Justin's going to drop back. Now, I know Ryan Day tells him, hey, if number one is open, throw it to him. One is open. He's wide open. Throw it to him. Unless somebody on the defense tells you you can get that post, Justin's going to go, nope, I don't want number one because I know that guy, last time we ran this play, was where he's not supposed to be, and I'm going to make him pay for it. You don't allow that guy to not be in that part of the field again when you got that post. He snaps his head back and is going to drive that post, and that safety's going to get penalized for not being where he's supposed to be. Now, everyone's saying, well, Andy Dalton's got experience. He does. He does. But the tape for Justin Fields tells you he's got the intelligence. This is easy, Chicago. He's your starter.
It's so good. I could watch those all day long. And so, Tannenbaum, let me come to you on that because you've been saying it for a while as well, despite what they're saying in Chicago, that in your opinion, it is a no-brainer that Fields should be their starting quarterback.
Absolutely. For a lot of the reasons that Dan just shows, there's a massive talent gap. It's not close. So even though Dalton has the experience, Fields is just the better player. He had 32 passes at Ohio State of 20 yards or more. He could get the ball down the field. And when it's close, you're going to defer to the veteran. I understand that, Matt Nagy. But when there's such a massive talent gap, Lewis Riddick tweeted, we just saw what Dan Orlovsky showed on tape. This is a, as you said, Greeny, no-brainer. And if I'm them, I make this decision sooner than later so the players know who their leader is today, but also in the next 5 years.
Well, Shefty, publicly, Matt Nagy continues to talk about the Mahomes model and starting Dalton and all of that. Is that, does that remain, and as to the best of your knowledge, the plan in Chicago?
It does. They continue to insist that Andy Dalton will be the opening day starter, that he is QB1. QB1 for now. That has been the plan since they essentially drafted Justin Fields. And they called Andy Dalton that day to let him know that this could happen in advance of the draft, so he was not overly surprised. Still, it doesn't change things. Justin Fields has been impressive. He has been what they hoped and thought he would be this summer, but Andy Dalton still is slated to be the Bears' opening day starting quarterback.
We'll see. As we mentioned, that's still 5 weeks and change away. A lot can change in that time, especially as Dan is breaking down the tapes. Meanwhile, First Take comes your way next here on ESPN. They're just a few minutes away. What was the best move in free agency? And if Dame wants to leave Portland, should his number one choice be New York? First Take will answer those questions and more after we wrap up Get Up here on ESPN.